Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another very special episode of Your Welcome. I'm in a particularly good mood. Don't know if I could tell you why. I get a little bit of a buzz on fight week, though. We got a lot of moving parts going on. Hey, Jacob, I'll tell you right now. Did you see the fights over the weekend?
I did not see these fights over this weekend.
Don't be shy about that. I feel like you're feeling shy. It's okay if you didn't see. You don't have to watch every fight.
Well, sometimes there's an obligation to, you know?
I can tell you feel one. You know what? I actually really respect that. But I'll tell you this. Everything that happened, you know, one big takeaway, Colby Covington. Let me start at the beginning on this. Do you even know where I'm going? Have you read anything? Colby Covington, ring a bell?
Not yet.
All right, perfect. Well,
it's brand new.
Great. Oregon guy. So maybe a little more special to me. I've known him his whole life. Thurston High School, Oregon State, All-American. So he breaks on the scene. Tough son of a bitch. He was tough before he ever got in, right? Rough guy. And all of a sudden, he takes... He takes the angle. He's going to fight Damian Maia. Damian Maia, multiple-time title challenger, multiple weight class. I mean, great fighter, right? He's going to take him on in Sao Paulo. And he takes the whole, I don't like being in Brazil, that whole angle. And whatever he was saying throughout the week, he was well within his line.
The bad guy shtick.
There you go. He was taking the bad guy shtick, but he was doing it really well, and it was fun. But, I mean, specific. You know, you can be a bad guy in 20 different areas. He was specifically... taking on Brazil, I would trust because he knew he's going to garner a reaction, right? If there's anything, any fan base in MMA that you know is passionate, it's going to be Brazil. He's got this Brazilian opponent. They're fighting in Sao Paulo. All the things add up. Great. He's moving forward. Well, I mean, it's cheap heat to the max when you're there. So, I mean, they hate him. They're booing him. Private security. You know, this is just the buildup for the fight. This is a card that you didn't even watch. This wasn't some mega pay-per-view. But he does his part. He does his part to get attention. And by the time the thing rolls around, he's got private security at his hotel. Something happened at the press conference. They're throwing stuff at him. They're chanting, you know, you're going to die. They're doing the whole bit. So he's getting every reaction he wants. Everything's cool in the gang. The fight ends, and he keeps it going. And now he's parlaying that right into getting his eyes on Tyron Woodley. Which I may divulge to you is not a terrible idea because there's a backstory there in that they used to be teammates. Anytime you have some kind of organic story, boom, tell us about it. And then we as fans will decide if that's something we want to see and we'll pay for. But his job is just let us know, hey, there's a story here. So he's doing his part. And then comes out of his mouth, Brazil, I'm not quoting. I'm very close. He said something about the people. And I believe he said, you're a bunch of filthy animals. I think that that's the exact quote. So this has still gotten headlines, man. Here we are talking about it days later, but so's everybody else. And he gets this incredible reaction. And a lot of people have asked me to weigh in on it. So I am. One, it's topical, but two, I have specifically been asked as a guy that played in that same pool at one point, what'd you think of it? And I'll tell you this. I like the UFC's response. Their response was, his comments are under review. The reason I like that is because there is not a definitive up or down on something like this. First off, anytime you've got showmanship, anytime you've got somebody on TV playing a character, there is a little bit of leeway. That's a reality. The other right, we're not looking to go arrest Al Pacino for chopping people up with machetes and selling cocaine because we just got done watching the movie Scarface, the other side of my argument. This wasn't scripted. Okay, so it's not totally one or the other. So you see what the UFC said there? We're going to review this. There are some things, I think you would agree with me, that, you know, we need a little bit of time. We need a little bit of time to see what this is. We've never had somebody do what you just did. We haven't got a response yet. We kind of need the world as our focus group. So let's sit back for a second and see what in the hell is the response to this thing. And let's start to figure it out. See, people always want the UFC to have the answer. Well, you guys are a major billion-dollar organization, and you're over there on Fox, and they're a billion-dollar organization, and therefore you should know all the answers. And every now and then, you don't. You don't know the damn answers, and you got to go, wait a second, we're going to review this, which means give us a second to breathe here. Give us a second to see the reaction. I find that to be very mature. I don't like knee-jerk reactions. We see that all the time, and somebody gets locked into something, and a few days pass, and you go, well, wait a minute. Now I think we need to review our review. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's come back to this in a few days.
I have a couple thoughts on that. One, as a referee, I love the step back and breathe reaction.
Umpire, right? Yeah. To remind everybody.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of the most effective ways to calm down a situation is when there's a bang bang play or a bang bang call and everyone's suddenly looking at you. And then you're just like, let me just think about this for like maybe instead of going immediately making a call, let me think about this for 3 seconds and then I'll make my call.
Yeah.
And then if you don't go all into the punch out, like selling your call, if you just go, on second thought, this is what I think. And then everyone's like, you take their gas out from underneath their fire.
Sure.
That's the funnest thing to do also. Plus, I have a thought on the comments a bit on insulting Brazil. One of my favorite lines I think I've ever heard you say was after your recent win over Silva. And you were fighting at the Madison Square Garden. And the guy pulls you after your win and he's talking to you and he's asking you, how do you feel? And you're looking around and you're like, the only thing going through my mind is, God, I hate New York. And I loved the reaction.
GP, right? You saw the reaction.
The crowd didn't know what to do. That some were angry immediately. Some were like cheering, going, hey, I get the showmanship gig. And some were just like, I have no idea what to do with that.
And the reason that's playful, I mean, that's cheap heat from the beginning, right? You comment on, you make fun of somebody's school, you got problems. You make fun of somebody's city, got problems.
That's part of the deal.
Sure, you make fun of somebody's state.
There's nothing better than beating a school less than a mile away from you. That's common knowledge.
That's exactly where rivalries and everything begins. So you see why that's low-hanging fruit and it's done playfully. I will tell you this, and you know, you're kind of splitting hairs, but that's a bit of the spot that Colby's in right now. If I were to say New York, I'm talking about dirt. I'm talking about a geographical location with boundaries that's broken down into the parameter of a state, or in this case, a city specific. But I'm still talking about dirt. I'm still just talking about a place in the world. If I were to say New York-er, now I'm talking about a person. I will admit, I'm still not in trouble. You still get away with that one all day. But if you wanted to get, if you want to start splitting these hairs that we're talking about, New York-er is worse than New York. And even though, granted, we're not talking about a big deal here, but you are when you're, because if you were going a broader scope, now you're talking about America. Well, you're talking about my own people. So, I mean, you just kind of get a pass right away. It is a little bit different. Colby, in Brazil, insulting the country. Now, there's so many moving parts here as to why I do like the UFC's response of, hey, we're going to review it. There is also a rule that we all understand about picking on any kind of a minority. In this case, he was there solo, outnumbered 10,000-1, and chose to take them on. It does give him a little bit of, well, hey, man, you're gonna get destroyed, and you're going to get destroyed fast if this were to actually break it. You know what I'm saying? I just really like their response. We do need a minute. Was he being a showman? Yeah, you bet he was. Was he getting a reaction that he contrived ahead of time? You bet he was. Does that make it okay? Well, that's what we're going to review. So I think in a worst-case scenario, no, we're not talking about the end of the world here, but let's take a minute. Use your stance of 3 seconds or, you know, stand back at 40,000 feet, whatever expression you want to use. And let's just wait a moment. Let's stay on this topic, though. So that's Colby's plight. That's what Colby's going to go deal with. And I have a feeling that it's not going to be much blowback from him. He came out with an apology. I forgot to add this to the story. I should have shared this with you. Now, again, if you're going to take this approach, you go all in. There is an art to the bad guy. But one of the rules, I mean, if there was 10 rules, you bet your ass one of the top three is you don't ever apologize. Because what is that going to do for you? You come out and you admit you're wrong. It's like being in a traffic accident, right? It says right on the back of your Geico insurance card, call this number, do not admit fault. Right. So there's really nothing good for people that say we want an apology. They don't want an apology so they can forgive you. They want an apology so they can convict you. So he does need to be careful there. So he comes out with an apology. I should have told you this. This is actually part of the story. I can't believe I almost left this out. He issued an apology. He issued an apology for whatever insult he gave to filthy animals by comparing them to the, and then he went from there, meaning the crowd that was booing him and throwing water and doing all of these different things. So he's doubled down. I don't know that he's in that bad of a spot to start with. It isn't wonderful. I think the UFC even said, you know, we're going to review this and we're not thrilled about his words. If they didn't use the word thrilled, they said something about that meaning, yeah, this isn't great, but give us a minute to figure out how bad it is. Let's just operate in these confines, right? I don't want to keep doing an apology tour. I want to be able to tell you the damn story. So he doubled down and gave this a written apology. It might have been on Facebook or Instagram, but he wrote it out and sent it somewhere, okay? So his own coach then, that's really the Colby story, but now let's go in a different direction. His own coach, Laborio of ATT, comes out and condemns him and makes it clear that he is no longer coaching at ATT.
Ooh.
And essentially used Colby's comments as, you know, the nail in the coffin that I just won't be associated with this. So Colby came back and responded to that. And he goes, hey, wait just a second. I've been at this gym for 3 years. You haven't been at this gym for two of them. So don't attempt to put yourself on this high horse or attach yourself to my, I did just, not for nothing, but I did just steal the show. I'm still stealing the headlines. And I did just take out a number one contender. So if I misspoke for less than 3 seconds of my life or not, I've still got these other moments and I'm going to bask in them a little bit. And you're not going to bring me down. What was interesting for us and our listeners is, and I even read a headline, Flow Grappling had covered it. I believe Jesse Holland then picked it up at Mania just in the last 48 hours that Laborio leaves ATT. Well, you and I had Dan Lambert on this show 2 weeks ago, and Dan Lambert, the owner of ATT, told us Laborio was out. So I'm not really sure how everybody's just now breaking the story. We didn't have the scoop on this, and we had it 2 weeks ago. And then he did attempt to throw Colby under the bus, almost in this high-handed response that I'm not going to tolerate this. And the media picked up on it, but their timeline is off. And who would know better than us? Because we had the owner on the show, who wasn't argumentative at least, but he did just make it clear, yeah, he's not here anymore. So the whole thing got a little interesting. If you follow the timeline, Colby is right that Laborio did try to insert himself after the fact in his storyline. Now, do you disagree?
It sounds like he's trying to cover his tracks or make some reason of why he's leaving. Because maybe it's embarrassing to him that he was out or something like that. And now all of a sudden he's like, no, there's this high horse reason that maybe there is a reason that I'm not working at that gym anymore. That's the only reason I can think of that. And he's like, I'll just ride on that and maybe steal a little spotlight time.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of. It's smart, but It is weird. I will say that. That's odd.
I'll say this to you. If I'm being honest, I feel like I'm always very honest with you, but there's a piece of me that's a little worried to weigh in on the Colby thing because it is under review. There's a part of me that wants to go, Colby, great job. As far as going out with a goal to get attention, to incite a crowd, you absolutely did it. There's a piece.
And then walk away with a win.
Yeah, but there's a little piece of me that's holding back on saying, great job on everything, including your interview, because it is under review. And it does. I'm no different than the UFC. I need a few minutes, too. What if somebody comes to us and brings up some compelling argument that we just hadn't thought of, and we go, well, wait a minute, we all thought this was in good fun, and then here we are and having said it. But I am comfortable speaking to you on this. If you're going to be the bad guy, you can't give an apology. If they're going to suspend him, they can't suspend him that long. It's not that huge of a deal. I mean, it's just not. And I'm not trying to dismiss it, but not huge enough that even they knew how to respond right away. They all need a minute, so I think we can agree this isn't right. It's one of these deals.
Do you think if he had stuck with his bad guy shtick and not apologized, the UFC would possibly have been more of a it was an act? But because now he himself has gone, I was wrong. The UFC is like, oh well you know what? We might have to do something about this.
But wait a second. You're not telling me you accept that apology? Come on, he apologized to filthy animals for insulting the animals by comparing them to the audience. No. Makes no mistake. The apology was no apology. What I'm saying is, let's say they're going to suspend him, and we can at least agree today, while this is under review, we can at least agree this isn't some, by any stretch, a career-ending or something.
If it was a career-ending, he would be gone by now.
There you go. That's the point in front of it. Well said. I like how you said that. So if we can agree to that, let's say a suspension's in order. So let's say it's 3 months. That'd be a long time. But let's say it's 3 months. Well, he's not going to fight again for 4. So if you're working a bad guy angle to start with, bring on the suspensions, and you don't offer an apology. If that's what you're going for. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
I do, because the suspensions work in his favor as far as the shtick is concerned.
I feel like I'm lacking balls today. I feel like I don't have the balls to tell you what I really want to, because it is under review. I'm trying to be sensitive to the fact that it's under review. But Colby did have a great weekend. Either way you want to talk about it, he did get attention. This is in the promotion business. He got attention. He got known. And his direct audience, he was also made himself. This is part of the reason it worked, okay? Because it was 10,000 to 1, and he made himself the one. He made himself the weak. He made himself the vulnerable. Because of that, there is a little bit of room. Also, his direct audience, who was Daniel Cormier, laughed. I mean, not for nothing, but Daniel did find it humorous. So Daniel's a minority. That's what I'm saying. If anyone's going to be sensitive to this, it would be Daniel. But he's a fellow fighter. He gets the showmanship. He got the kick. Daniel laughed. Daniel gave a big announcement and sent him on his way. What do you think? Have some balls, man. One of us has to have some balls, and apparently I'm lacking them today because I'm not putting a full thought together.
I think at the end of the day, if he had stuck, okay, here's what I think should have happened. If he really wanted to be a bad guy, he should, like you said, shouldn't have apologized. Even I feel like the UFC, if he hadn't have apologized, wouldn't have come down on as hard as him if he had never apologized. But now that he has, it's like the UFC has to slap him even harder. If he had stuck with it, maybe they would have given him a 3-month suspension, and that would have been fine for his shtick, because he's like, now I've got the suspension for being a bad guy. Come at me, bro.
Are you missing the part about the apology?
No,
I feel like you're accepting the fake apology.
No, I'm not. It's weird. Well, if anyone doesn't have the balls, it's him.
This isn't on you. This is on me. I need to bring this up. I need to read. I need to show you so you can read his apology. The apology.
Should we just read it on air somewhere?
I have a feeling the listeners probably know what it was, but it was anything but an apology, which from the entertainment standpoint, he succeeded. From the bad guy standpoint, he succeeded. So anyone is. And then Damian Maia comes out. Well, Damian Maia is a veteran. You're not going to rattle Damian Maia on this, man. He's been down that way. He knows what it's all about. Damian Maia was cool as can be, and he's like, hey, great job. You beat me fair and square. He didn't even touch the topic. He's just like, yeah, you beat me.
Part of the show for him.
Part of the show, but he's a veteran. He's a veteran, so he got it.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems. If you're Colby, you're expecting that everybody's going to get it. It's like, hey, man, this is heel heat. Back to my Al Pacino example. You're not going to go over Res Pacino because you watch Scarface. You're watching a TV show. Sit back and enjoy the show. Well, scripted versus non-scripted. Back to the UFC's point. We're going to review it. All right. If anybody wants to get action, doesn't matter. It's this weekend's UFC, St. Pierre coming back, surprisingly an underdog. So that does surprise me. As a guy that went out as the best ever and went out as the champion of the world, he's coming as the underdog, but I guess he's taking on the champion of the world. You put your money where your opinion is. I'll give you $25 to do it for free. Guys, go to betdsi.com. Set up an account. Use the promo code CHAIL25, and BetDSI will give you $25 for free. There is no strings attached, guys. You know me well enough. I don't do strings. You never get out a credit card. You never make a payment. Just go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code CHAIL25. Get $25 for free. And with that said, you know who we should have weigh in on this? None other than Hall of Famer Stephen Bonner, who's been to Brazil and taken on a Brazilian. Stephen, did you watch Covington over the weekend?
Colby Covington? Did I watch him? I fed him.
What'd you think of it, man? I mean, good, clean entertainment or too far? You tell me.
He was my biggest liability. I was happy he came through. No, I mean, come on, Chael. We need a little more of that in the sport. The closed mouth don't get fed. If anyone should know that, it's you.
Hey,
I think he's going to get a big fight. Because of that mouth.
The squeaky wheel gets no grease. And, you know, when you want to talk about the fight, I don't know what Colby's record is, Stefan, but it's something like 7-1 in the UFC. If I'm wrong, it's 6-1. Is that you beeping? Is that you beeping, or do I got a bad connection?
No. I'm just sorry. I'm doing some banking here.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's your PIN code? I won't tell anybody. What is it? Just between us.
Okay. 69.
why am I not surprised? Hey, so listen. So, you know, not for nothing, but I think that was like, I think he's now 6-1. He just took out a number one contender. I don't think he's getting the Woodley fight next. I'm not make-believing that.
No,
however,
definitely not.
I do like that there's a storyline there that they used to be teammates. He's claiming he got the best of Tyron. And above everything else, he got Tyron to respond. Anytime you go poke the bear, what you need is a response. The worst is when the guy stays silent, and Tyron bought right into it, man. He did respond.
Yes, he did. Hook, line, and sinker. So, yes, I agree with you. I don't think they're giving him that fight next. But a lot of people are going to want to see him get his ass kicked. He's, my prediction, going to be like a main event fight night fight next.
There you go. All right, so what's new with you, man? What's the haps? Where are you? Where can we find you?
Oh, boy. In Vegas. You just opened the Legends Room not too long ago. It's going great. I don't know if you trade digital on Bittrex. The token is LGD. It's severely undervalued. We got the biggest UFC of the year Saturday. Brody Jenner coming to DJ. Little insider trading info.
What is the Legend?
LGD now.
What is the Legend Room?
But thank God this is an unregulated market, so I'm not going to go to jail like Martha Stewart. And we're going to get a nice pop on Friday. But it's undervalued. I mean, it's a legitimate club, and this isn't just a pump and dump. It's a legitimate club. We're here to stay, and we're doing great.
All right.
We're doing great.
Hold on. You said a lot of things there, and I took away Legend Room. Do I got to be 21 and over to get in?
It's a club in Vegas. We call it the Legends Room. We show all the big fights there. You know, we bring fighters in for guest appearances. We get, you know, exotic dancers, celebrity DJs, like this Saturday after the fights, Brody Jenner. And it's a brand new ICO. We just opened 8 weeks ago, and it's really undervalued. We could trade it on Bittrex as LGD. And it's like buying shares of a stock, you know. If you want to get on like something like Tesla, the best time to buy it is like when it's brand new. This is a great time to buy this.
Stefan, I think of myself as a smart enough guy. I'm embarrassed to tell you. I don't know what ICO stands for.
Initial coin offering. This is the first cryptocurrency club of its kind in the world. So we take like Bitcoin and Ethereum, and you could spend your LGD tokens. That's like it's like buying shares of a stock, Joe. So, you know, our members aren't, just strip club connoisseurs. They're Bitcoin nerds.
You're talking to me in a foreign language right now, but I assume that there's fellow Bitcoiners out there that know what you're saying.
Yeah, so Bittrex is like an Ameritrade for, like, digitally traded commodities. ICOs, initial coin offerings. It's like a new company, and shares of stock of that company, you could buy it using digital currency. And that's what the Legend Room is, the first crypto club of its kind in the world, actually. We're brand new. We've been open 8 weeks. The kickoff is in Mayweather-McGregor. The coin's undervalued now. We got a big fight coming up. We got a bunch of press releases coming out Friday. And we got Brody Jenner playing Saturday after the fights. So I'm just trying to help your listeners out there make a few quick bucks. But it's, you know, it's really undervalued. I mean, where there's a lot of BS ICOs that don't have a brick and mortar building or any sort of substance behind it. And we actually do. So, you know, there is a brick and mortar, an actual club, employees, and the whole nine yards.
Well,
and
I'm going to have to catch up because you're way ahead of me on that. I know very little about Bitcoin. In fact, are you calling it BitX or are we saying Bitch?
No, Bittrex is a site. Bittrex is like the Ameritrade site for, you know, like buying stuff with Bitcoin and Ethereum and Litecoin and some of the digital coins out there.
All right.
And the ICOs, initial coin offering, are like the different companies, like your Microsoft, your Tesla, your American Airlines, you know. Your company's out there, and you know, you buy shares of like ICOs with your Bitcoin, and you know, you have your account, your portfolio, much like you would on a Ameritrade account with your blue chip stocks.
All right. See, I know very little about it, and I remember when Bitcoin was coming around, I was trying to smarten myself, and we got one coffee shop in all of Portland that will take Bitcoin, and it just discouraged me. But I imagine a bigger city like you. Okay, great. You've taught me. Let's get back to some MMA, man. Who's going to win the fight this weekend, GSP or Bisping?
You know, you would know that better than anyone. I think GSP has a similar style to you. You were able to beat Michael Bisping by out-wrestling him and controlling him. And I think a lot of people are saying, oh, the ring rust and GSP looked bad in his last fight, and he is going to be, you know, weaker and older. And I don't know. I've seen, like, heard from good sources and seen footage of him training, and he looked really, really big and strong. And I think these last 3.5-4 years, he's kept in pretty good shape and increased his strength. And I think he's got a really good shot. And I think stylistically, this is how you beat Bisping. The exact same way you did.
I tell you, and whether you're right or wrong, I know that George agrees with you. And you know, everybody thinks, well, yeah, if a guy's going into a fight, of course he thinks he's going to win. No, it's not always that case, man. Sometimes we don't know. We do the best we can, and we walk out there. But he did come back at this weight class for this specific fight. He likes the matchup. He thinks he can take him down and keep him there. Let me tell you a quick George story to personalize this and put myself on it, Stefan. But I've only worked out with George twice in my life. Once was right before he fought Johnny Hendricks, and then once was just recently. And I assumed going to the second workout that it would be a lesser George. He takes an X amount of time off. He hasn't had the fights. He's got the ring rust. Ring rust doesn't always show up in practice like it does in live competition, as I'm sure you'd agree. However, I could just tell you from my experience, he was tougher recently than he was 4 years ago. Take that how you will. That was my experience.
Wow. That really just goes and confirms my theory of that we're just going to get a bigger and stronger GSP, not the kind of old, like the last time we saw GSP versus Hendricks, we saw a guy who was sick and tired of the grind, sick and tired of defending that belt year after year, fight after fight, unmotivated, and probably a little bit run down and overtrained. And now we have someone who's refreshed, who's packed on a lot of muscle size and strength. And stylistically, I think it's a great matchup. And you know what? I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I my whole opinion on this is I think he's got a good shot to win because he's going to be a bigger, stronger version of GSP.
Yeah, and see, in that... so much I agree with you, and whoever knows how the fight goes, it has surprised me the build-up to the fight. It has surprised me that George was a 3-1 favorite, and now he currently sits at an underdog. It has surprised me when you have people whose opinions matter, like Luke Rockhold. His opinion matters. He's in the weight class. He's a former world champion. He doesn't think there's anything to see here. He thinks that Bisping goes out, takes care of him, and goes home quick. That has surprised me. More than whatever happens in the fight, it has surprised me how much George has been forgotten. And the sport moves really fast. But it doesn't for me. I was here from the beginning. I was a big fan before I was ever in it and blah, blah, blah. I haven't forgot. I haven't forgot how damn dominant that Canadian was. I just haven't.
I mean, you're right. He defended that belt for a very long time. And you're right. I think a lot of the fans have forgotten. The sport has come around and evolved so quick that a lot of the newer fans really don't like can appreciate the kind of athlete and champion he was for so long. And I think the New York fans as well. Maybe the tickets are priced too high, but they seem to not be buying into this hype. I'm surprised to hear there was as many empty seats left. Maybe they priced the tickets too high. I thought this would go quick going and being in New York City. But I think it's a testament to the New York fans are a little finicky, and a lot of the new fans really don't know who GSP is and appreciate and respect the kind of champion he was for so long.
Yeah, and you know, I never went online and looked that up, but that did surprise me too when I heard tickets were slow. I would hypothesize exactly what you just said, that they just outpriced it. And I'll remind you, as recently as a few months ago, I was at Conor versus Mayweather. Biggest fight of all time. You heard all about the numbers and the gate and the pay-per-view. Stefan, that thing wasn't sold out. They can say whatever they want. It wasn't sold out. There was a damn good audience, but there was about 1,000 tickets left just by my eyes. It could have been 2,000 tickets, but it comes back to your point. The nosebleed that I put my mother in was $1,500.
Yeah, and same thing with this fight. The cheapest seats there around $1,000, and plus it's not like a brand. This isn't the first time in New York anymore. They got into New York and they've been like just beating a dead horse, going back there as much as they possibly can. And I think they kind of milked it a little too quick, too fast.
Yeah, they could have. It's a killer card. I'm excited about it. And you know what? One I really like. I like the main event. I'm a front runner, but this Garbrandt versus TJ is not under my radar. You know, I like an authentic grudge match. Back to the teammate thing. We were talking about Colby versus Tyron, but there's something there where both guys trained together and there was enough witnesses around and everybody's got their opinion of what happened. They did the Ultimate Fighter show. We waited for it. It was delayed. I'm in, man. The bill, I'm in.
In terms of pure fireworks, yeah, this is going to be the exciting fight, you know. This isn't the main event, but, I mean, I think it'll kind of steal the show in terms of entertainment value. And Cody Garbrandt, you know, I really, before the Dominic Cruz fight, I wasn't sold on him. But afterwards, I was. Just the way he was able to just keep a millimeter or two outside of Dominic's punching distance. His feet were under him in a good position always, in a great position to counter. Yeah, his hands really impressed me. And there's got to be some nugget of truth to all the talk of him beating TJ up and knocking him out in training. It can't all just be a bunch of hogwash, and that's why I put a little play on Cody Garbrandt in this fight.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And, you know, history says that Garbrandt wins. He's younger. He is coming off that injury, though. And I find it – I'm a conspiracy theorist. So you get 20 people that saw the workout. They are unanimous that Cody used to beat him. But you got the one other guy that was a principal in this, which is TJ, who's saying, yeah, well, I'm willing to sign a contract and do it in front of the world because I think in those workouts I was holding something back. So why don't we just find out together with our mouthpieces in? And there's something about that I can't look away from.
You know, taking nothing away from TJ, like what he impresses me probably the most about him, are especially after working with Dwayne, like he has lethal head kicks. And I don't care who you are, if one of those shins smacks you upside the head, you're going to sleep. And, you know, I think that's how I broke the fight down. I gave Cody the advantage of when it comes to just hands and fundamentals of boxing. But TJ, the kicking advantage, and one good shin upside the head could change everything.
Yeah, and you know, there's another argument that somebody else made, but they were right. And it might have been Joe Rogan. Somebody made this argument I listened to, and I thought, well, that's kind of compelling too, which was, you know, TJ's style has greatly changed. And it has changed post-Alpha Male. You know, I think that it was influenced by Dominic Cruz. I thought I was seeing some of that footwork and hand movement, or head movement, rather. Don't really care where it came from, but I did think that his style changed. So the argument, if you're Team TJ, is doesn't really matter what happened in those workouts. I've evolved. You stayed put. So in theory, you haven't evolved. I know what I'm getting. You don't know what you're getting. Stefan, I don't know if anything I just said is true. I just know it's worth my $50 to find out.
No, yeah, that's a hell of a good point.
It really is a good point.
Yes, because TJ, since those workouts at Team Alpha Male, has definitely changed as a fighter. And yeah, I mean, if Cody goes in thinking he's going to get the exact same guy he had trained with back then, he's going to be sorely mistaken.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna switch in a totally different area, but I haven't got to talk to you in a while, and I've always wanted to ask you this. This will be like your PIN code. I won't tell it. This will just be between you and I. Did you get a DUI one time and live tweet during it?
You know what really sucks is like, I went out to, you know, a friend's place to watch UFC the night before, and I actually told a story of where I almost got a DUI. It was actually at Dana White's birthday. Like, he was out and he told me to meet him out, and met him out at Spearmint Rhino, and he, you know, had a great time. And yes, on the way home, like, that, the whole thing I tweeted was true. Like, you know, my mirror was dangling, and, you know, I pretty much, the cop pulled me over, like, here, take me to jail, I've been drinking, and suddenly he just let me go. And anyways, I told the story, and, oh, man, people were just rolling, laughing. It was the greatest. Like, it was just, like, the funniest story ever. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, how about I just act like it's really happening today? Well, it's, you know, after, you know, I got home, I thought it would be funny. And really, you know, just one of those things. That's how I am. Like, in my head, sometimes I think it's something that's so damn funny, and it is funny, and it's, like, magically funny. You know, just, it's on. It's perfect. And other times I think the exact same way, oh, this is going to be so funny, and then, like, the part of my head doesn't think about, you know, all the mothers who've lost kids to drunk drivers, and all the things, like, it's not funny. It's taking something too far. That's why, like, you know, the line of decency to me is really blurry. So it's sometimes I take things too far, and it's offensive, and it's not funny. And that was one of those situations.
Well, hey, that's easy to do. That's easy to do, particularly with guys your and I's age, where we did not grow up in the world of social media. And even though we are adults, we're still a little bit new to it. And sometimes we think, you know what? It'd probably be best if I put this damn thing down. But it's too late once you hit that green button.
Yeah, too late, all right. And it cost me, man. I was working for CBS when Titan was on there, and that came out, and make a long story short, I lost the job over it.
Oh, I didn't actually know that. See, I was trying to be funny by asking you about this. I didn't know I was actually ripping a Band-Aid off. So some people saw it, and it cost you. Well, I'm sorry I brought it up. I hope enough times lapse that I'm within lanes here.
It's good. You know, hey, world, you know, I'm sorry that was awfully unsensitive of me and foolish and immature, and you know, but things are left unsaid, and don't drink and drive. Don't drink at all.
There you go. Boom. Unless you're buying it with Bitcoin. Okay, so hey, I'll ask you this then. What is the latest with you in pro wrestling? When I asked you what you were up to lately, you caught me off guard with the Legends Room. I didn't know about that. I thought you were going to talk some Impact, man. What is going on there?
Oh my God, yes. We got this Sunday, the big Impact pay-per-view Bound for Glory coming up. Me and Moose, who is a former Super Bowl champion with the Patriots, are teaming up, tag teaming up, Six Sides of Steel, to fight Bobby Lashley and King Mo and pretty much any other of those American top team lowlifes that show up. I hope Colby Covington's there because he's been running his mouth too, and I'm going to punch him right in the face.
Will Lambert be there?
Yes, Dan Lambert will be there, and I owe him one.
He's a sport, man. Dan Lambert's cool.
He says, you know what, as much disdain as I have for Lambert, I will say he is great on the mic.
He is at least a sport. You have to give him that through Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, tell me
this. He'll be there, too, but we're you know, so we're in a steel cage, so we're going to make sure we lock him out so he can't interfere like he always does.
Tell me this for shoot. I've done some work with Impact, and I read about Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett was removed. But, man, it's with wrestling. I never know what's a work and what's not. When Jarrett had that, I just blew it off, but some time has passed. Is Jarrett really not behind the wheel anymore?
Yes, I mean, unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, he's not, because, you know, he was kind of my connection there, and, you know, I trained with Disco Inferno up here. Those two are buddies, and he got me in the door, and, yeah, Jeff Jarrett is no longer with Impact Wrestling.
Now, he owned a percent of that. I mean, is that as simple as the board getting together and kicking a guy out? He still owns shares. I mean, is this something where he could walk back in someday? Or you have no idea? Am I speculating? I mean, what's real? Is Karen involved?
Yeah,
is the whole family out?
I thought the same thing, yes. Because, yes, he was in on the owner's spot. Would they buy out his shares? What, you know, is the door still open for him? No one knows.
I have a feeling you're not telling me everything.
Yeah, I wish I knew more. I really do. I'm asking the same questions, you know? Like, Disco, you're friends with him. What's going on? What's happening? You know what? He had to step down. He's out of the picture now. He's, you know, taking care of some personal things. Is he coming back? I don't know. Maybe he might. We'll see. Just wait and chill.
So who's the head? Who's the head?
Like, review and kick some ass.
Who will you answer to as far as your participation in this goes? Who's now steering that ship?
All right. So before I was talking with Jeff Jarrett and Jim Cornette, right?
Right.
They're both out of the picture. And now I've been talking with Scott D'Amore, who was the vice president. And it looks like, for the meantime, he's been bumped up to president. I don't know if that's official, but he seems to be the one steering the boat right now.
All right. And if we want to watch this on Sunday, I'm going to assume 7 p.m. Am I wrong?
Let's see. It's up in Ottawa, Canada. I believe you're right. 7 p.m. It's called Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Global Force Impact Wrestling. And I do have to give a shout out to Matt Granahan, the King of Connecticut. He is the one who got me on your show, Chael. He said it's really tough to get on this show. And I had my debut match in New York City at House of Glory last month, and he got to call the action. He did a fantastic job. So the dream team of commentary would be the King of Connecticut, Stephen Bonner, and Chael Sonnen, I must say.
Well, that was actually a very nice compliment, what you just said, and it is hard to get on. But when you're a Hall of Famer, you got an open pass, man. So anytime you want on, the door's open, and I mean that.
Well, hey, Chael, we go back a long way from calling the action back on Fox Sports to ESPN to even fighting on the same card in the UFC. So, you know, you're one of my classmates. You're pretty much, I look at you as being in my graduating class of mixed martial arts.
Well, I appreciate that. And I promise you, my friend, I will be tuning in Sunday, and I hope everybody else does. And let's stay in touch, buddy. Come back.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chael.
Boom. Stephen Bonner, everybody. So he's up Sunday. Certainly he knows when I said this is between us that we were recording, right? I don't need to, like, send him a text message. That was pretty clear.
I'm wondering if that was a fake one.
Well, I felt like the story got a little heavier on the DUI than I was expecting it to. It got a little more serious. But always good to hear from him, man. What a good attitude. What the hell was he talking about with that Bitcoin? But that was a foreign language. Are you keeping up with all that? Do you know about online currency?
Not really. I prefer to pay with cash wherever I go.
I don't think you have a choice here in Portland. I'm telling you, there was one coffee shop that was taking this Bitcoin. I mean, he was speaking in a foreign language. I go, whoa. What? What are we talking about here? So maybe he's smarting us all. What do you think?
In that regard, yeah.
Hi there. My name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
company. We do.
Enough to work together
and
have three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No, that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because,
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, where do we go from here? Are we out? We got anything else?
We got a few more days until GSP and Bisping. And who are you rooting for again? I mean, obviously,
you know,
it's going to change a bit, maybe a tiny bit, but closer,
you know,
we get.
And you know what? I'm actually not. Every time I speak on it, I think I sound very pro-George. That may be the case. I mean, in terms of if I was to make a prediction, it may be George. It's a very good fight, and I am influenced by people whose opinions I respect. Luke Rockhold's opinion matters. The sumbitch was world champion 24 months ago in this weight class. It has surprised me, though, that anybody could dismiss GSP. Bisping's a world champion. I'm not dismissing him. GSP's a world champion. He's on, look at that. Who's on TV right now? There's George St. Pierre. I mean, the guy matters. The guy's got
Bisping's
a meaningful.
Not on TV. That's the thing right here, too.
He's got a meaningful presence in the sport. And, you know, 4 years was a while ago. Ring rust is a real thing. He is a smaller guy. Numbers don't lie. He will weigh in smaller. He is shorter. He has been out longer. Those arguments are all true. But to make believe he's going to get his ass kicked, Jacob, I've never seen George St. Pierre get his ass kicked. I've seen him lose fights. I've never seen him get his ass kicked. And people that are thinking he's going to lose, I'm not hearing them say this is going to be a long, drawn-out fight, and I really think Bisping can move and keep him at the end of the jab and pick him apart, and it's going to go 25 minutes. They're not saying things like that. They're just dismissing him. So whenever I speak, I do find myself quickly defending George. I don't know that that is meant to be a defense of George as much as just a reality of what I've seen with my own eyes, what I've felt in competition with Bisping or in practice with George, and just speaking from that experience of I'm just not ready to sign off, even if I got to put my opinion against those like Luke Rockhold's, who opinion matters. I'm not ready to sign off that anybody is whipping George. If you want to talk to me a little bit closer terms, that this is going to be close, but here's why, and George isn't going to hold him down, and Bisping's getting it great and off bottom, getting up off the bottom. I'm not hearing talks like that. I'm hearing either George goes out and beats Bisping, or Bisping kicks his ass, and it's an easy night, and the fight never should have been signed. That's what I'm resisting.
You want a good fight. You're defending the fact that people are saying this isn't going to be an entertaining or meaningful fight for either one.
I think the way you said it is fair. Whether I want a good fight or
who doesn't want a good fight?
Yeah, I think what I'm saying is I just think it's a good. Here's what I would tell you. As I'm gathering my thoughts, here's what I would tell you. I would think, based on what I've seen, based on history, based on George's own opinion of why he took this fight, because I'm the best wrestler in MMA. I have the best MMA wrestling, the best top control. I'm taking on a guy who's never wrestled before, comes from a country that doesn't contest the sport. That's the math that he did. If somebody was to say George is going to take him down and smother him, that would be very easy for me to sign off on and go, well, yeah, I could see how you came to that conclusion. If somebody was to say, well, not so fast. George is going to try to do that, but Bisping's going to move, and he's really good at getting off bottom, and you know both these guys don't have cardio issues, and I think it's going to tip towards Bisping. That'd be easy for me to just go, yeah, I could see that. When people say Mike's just going to go out and kick his ass, and that may well be, I don't know, we're going to have to watch the fight. It's just hard for me to see how you're coming to that conclusion based on the evidence that we've been given over the last 15 years between the two athletes. That part of the analysis does make me go, well, why do you say that? And maybe people see something that I don't. That happens all the time, right? I come on here all the time, I'm positive and blah, 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 and reality then confronts us and we watch. But this is still my reality. I haven't seen anybody go out and whip George St. Pierre's ass. I just haven't seen it.
The only argument for him getting kicked around is the fact that he does have ring rust. That's, I think, the only legit reason. But yeah, he did walk. But I agree with you. I think this is going to be a pretty close fight. I think George is going to win. I'm on George's side right there. If he doesn't, good for Bisping. That's kind of what I want to see, though. If I'm wrong, I want to be impressed why I'm wrong.
Sure.
That's what I'm rooting for.
Oh, good for either guy. I mean, you want to talk about legacy in a fight that's going to be remembered. Good for either guy. I would offer you this, and Stefan brought this point up. When people were talking about George's last fight and he didn't look good in his last fight, that's another point that I disagree. And there was big controversy that possibly he even lost the fight. President Dana White said he lost the fight. Johnny Hendricks should have had it. Keith Kaiser lost his job over his response to his commission and that very fight. I happened to be on the side of the commission and the judges, and I thought that George won the contest. Either way you want to go with that, I do disagree that he didn't look good. Was it close? Yeah, you bet your ass. You're dismissive of Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks is a multiple-time national champion. He was the rightful number one contender. He was fired up. He had a wonderful evening. He fought his ass off. The champ, George, retired, and Johnny goes and picks up the belt and defended it multiple times. So when people say that George didn't look good, that one also makes me go, well, just a second here. He took on a younger...
Or is Johnny just that good?
Johnny Hendricks is straight up badass. Well, you know, what are you saying that George didn't look good? You're telling me that Johnny isn't a killer? Where have you guys been, man? And that could also come back to my biasness of wrestling roots because I grew up with Johnny. Johnny was a winner his whole life. They have, this might surprise you, they have Johnny Hendricks as the second best high school wrestler of all time.
Not in a Oregon lot of or in America,
no.
In the country?
In America.
Okay.
He's number two of all time. If I was to list some of the guys he beat, I think, wow, that's pretty damn impressive. None of that's relevant here other than to let you know that Johnny Hendricks was a killer, but he wasn't a very well-known guy. He was the number one contender, and he'd beaten everybody, and you know he beat Koscheck, and he'd beaten this guy. It was kind of hard to deny him. Okay, George needs an opponent. Let's throw him in. It was one of those Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva moments where you think Anderson doesn't look good, but no. It's like, you're just not following it. Chris Weidman just happens to be a badass that happens to be a better fighter than him. So there's my thoughts on that. I mean, if I was to give you a prediction, I feel like maybe that's what you were asking me, I would tell you George. I get these wrong a lot. I do feel that I am right, though. I do feel that Come next week when we talk about it, I won't be embarrassed when I make the claim George isn't getting his ass kicked. I don't suggest to you Bisping's getting his ass kicked. I suggest to you we have a very good contest here. But I do think that I will be right next week, regardless of the outcome, that St. Pierre doesn't come back and he's just too small and too weak and too rusty and gets bitched out like people are saying. That I do not believe is going to happen.
Boom,
there's my thought. All right, guys. If you're looking for a car, and it doesn't matter if it's new or it's just new to you, do not buy, do not even consider buying without going to True Car. If you're at a desktop, www.truecar.com, or just download it. Most of you have a smartphone. Most of you are listening to this podcast right now on your smartphone. Go in your search engine, type in True Car, download the app. Here's how it works. Virtually, through the app, through the website, type in the car you want. Year, make, model, color, type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. Most people are saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. At that point, that will become your price, and you will be connected with a True Car certified dealer. You will work out everything. When you get to the lot, your car is guaranteed to be there. You're going to save time. True Car. For Jacob, I'm Chael. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.